chapter 13. And as he, Jesus, went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Master, see what kind of stones and what buildings are here." I don't know exactly what the temple in Jerusalem looked like, but I'm sure it was a pretty impressive building. And answering, Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left on another that shall not be thrown down." He is about to tell his disciples about the coming of the Roman army to destroy Jerusalem and the temple, and that happened in AD 70. Now, in this chapter, verses 1 through 31, he's going to talk about AD 70, the coming of AD 70. And then verses 32 to 37, he's going to talk about his second coming or the judgment day. And you have to be careful. There's corresponding chapters. Luke 24 is a parallel chapter to this. I've forgotten what chapter it is in Luke, but you have to be careful because these are two separate events that he's talking about. One is AD 70, and the second is Judgment Day, and you have to know where that break is, and you have to use some common sense. And I think we can do that. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives across from the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled?" When is this destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple going to happen? And what signs are there going to be? How will we know it's coming? In answering them, Jesus began to say, "Be careful lest any man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Do not be troubled, for such things need to be, but the end shall not yet be. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in various places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows." There's going to be all kinds of signs before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. "But be careful, for they shall deliver you up to councils." Now remember, he's talking to the apostles. He's not talking to us today. "For they shall deliver you up to councils, and you shall be beaten in the synagogues, and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed among all nations." Again, he's telling them things that are going to happen before the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, he's talking to his disciples, and this is probably AD 30. And then the destruction of Jerusalem was in AD 70. So this is 40 years before this is going to happen. So these are the signs, things that are going to happen in the next 40 years. Okay, let's see. "But when they lead you and deliver you up," again, he's talking to the apostles, "do not worry beforehand or premeditate about what you shall speak, but speak whatever shall be given you in that hour, for it is not you who is speaking, but the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit does not tell us today what to say. We have the complete Word of God. The Holy Spirit is not in us telling us what to say. And the easy proof of that is look at everybody today. All the hundreds, thousands of different so-called Christian-based churches that all teach, believe, and practice different things. Now, how can the Holy Spirit be in them when they are all preaching completely different doctrines? "Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and children shall rise up against their parents and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated by all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved." Again, this is going to be the result of Christianity. It is going to split families. It does that even today. There are people who maybe grew up as a Catholic or a Baptist or Methodist or Presbyterian or what have you, and And then they become a member of the Lord's church, and their family shuns them, completely shuns them. Or maybe even a Muslim then becomes a Christian, and their family shuns them. Hopefully they don't kill them, but back in the first century, it sounds like that happened. Christianity brings divisiveness because some will believe and obey and some will not. But when you see the abomination of desolation spoke of by Daniel the prophet standing where it ought not, let him who reads understand. Now, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, that's in Daniel 9. And that is talking about prophecies that happened back then. I think what Jesus is saying is when you see things going on that are very similar to what happened back in the Old Testament, know that the destruction of Jerusalem is very near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house or enter in it to take out anything out of his house. So using common sense, we know that God is not talking about the second coming. What good would it do? First of all, we're not going to have time to do anything on Judgment Day. We'll see in passages how quickly it's going to come. It's going to come as quickly as lightning goes across the sky, one passage says. And what good would it do to go and pack a suitcase? You know, this is not talking about Judgment Day. This is talking about the Roman army coming to destroy Jerusalem. And when you see all these signs and then when you see the Roman army coming, get out of there. Don't even hesitate. Don't go pack. Don't do anything. Run to the mountains. Let's see. Let him who's on the housetop not go down in the house or enter in to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not turn back again to take up his garment. But woe to those who are with child and to those who are nursing children in those days. And pray that your flight is not in the winter. Again, obvious this is not talking about the second coming. What difference would it make if Judgment Day was in the winter? You know, it doesn't matter. For in those days there shall be affliction such as has not been from the beginning of the creation that God created to this time, nor ever shall be. This destruction of Jerusalem is going to be bad. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. So because there were faithful Christians in Jerusalem, God's providence, I'm thinking, he may have intervened to some extent to make it little less severe than it could have been. And then if any man says to you, look, here is Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe them. This is not the second coming. For false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect, even faithful Christians. But be careful. Behold, I have foretold you all of these things. He has given them plenty of warning. And from what I have heard, when this did happen, faithful Christians in Jerusalem did flee the city, and I've heard, although cannot verify, that not one faithful Christian was killed in Jerusalem. They all fled to the mountains like God told them to, and they were saved from the Roman army. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in the heavens shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and then he shall send his angels, and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Again, it would be very easy to think that he's talking about the second coming here, but he's not. He's not. He's still talking about AD Jerusalem, and he's using highly figurative language here. We know that the stars didn't fall out of heaven because we still see them today. We know that the sun didn't darken. We know that the moon still works today, so we know these things are not literal. If this recording sounds choppy, it's because my dogs won't leave me alone. Okay, so we know that these things were not literal. This is figurative language, and you'll find some of these exact same phrases in the Old Testament before a nation was destroyed. So these figures of speech are referring to a nation that is doomed. And in this case, it was Jerusalem and Judaism. It's doomed. It's going to be destroyed. So again, even though it kind of sounds like, you know, the second coming, it's not. This is still talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And this is using highly figurative language. Jesus continues, "Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near." We can tell by the signs that summer is near. When a fig tree starts growing leaves, so you, in like manner, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the doors. When you see all of the signs that I just told you about, know that the destruction of Jerusalem, including the temple and Judaism and the Roman armies, very close, very, very close. "Truly I say to you that this generation shall not pass away until all these things are done." That makes it very, very clear that he's talking about AD 70 and not the second coming, because unless we've got some really old people walking around today, this happened in the first century. Again, this is probably AD 30 when Jesus is speaking. The destruction of Jerusalem was AD 70, so we're talking 40 years here. "Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And now he is going to switch subjects. In verse 32, then he starts talking about the second coming. He says, "But no man knows of that day and that hour, no, not even the angels who are in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Be careful, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." Now we're talking about the second coming, where nobody knows when it's coming and there will be no signs, none whatsoever. Now when it says that he doesn't even know when the day of judgment is, I think he's saying just, you know, as a human on earth, I think he did give up some of his power. He was still deity and he was still man, but I do think he gave up some of his power. And probably as a human on the earth, he didn't know. I think he does now, because, you know, he's back up in heaven on the right hand of God and he would have all knowledge. But I think as a human on the earth, he probably didn't know at the time. "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and every man to his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch." This is representative of Jesus went back, he ascended back into heaven, sitting on the right hand of God, and we Christians are left here on this earth to live faithful Christian lives and to be teaching and evangelizing, doing what we're supposed to do, the work that Jesus has given us to do. And he says, "Therefore watch, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, at evening or at midnight or at the rooster's crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping or unprepared or not being a faithful Christian." And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. That is so important for us Christians today. We can't let down our guard. We can't give up Christianity for a while and go, you know what, I'm tired of doing all this stuff. I'm tired of praying and doing Bible study and trying to teach others and staying away from sin and going to every worship service and blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to take a break from it for a while. Because if you take a break from it for a while, that could be when Jesus comes back. And if Jesus comes back and find you unprepared, you will lose your soul. I will lose my soul if I'm not careful. So we have to watch and always be prepared, because there will be no signs at all of his second coming. And that is Mark chapter 13.